Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, and the church celebrates today the memorial of St. Martha. St. Martha was a friend of Jesus. She's mentioned several times in the Gospel itself, in the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of Luke. She's often known for her hospitality because she welcomed the Lord Jesus into her home and made a meal for him. And she was also the brother of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So we give thanks to God for the witness of her life and ask the Lord for blessings upon us through her intercession this day, that we may be witnesses of kindness and hospitality to the people around us as well. I'd like to hopefully now today conclude my discussion on the celebration of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, an ordination ceremony or mass, by talking about a couple of the little rituals that happen after the priest has been formally ordained by the presiding bishop, okay? So you'll remember on Friday I talked about some of the rituals leading up to it, and then we talked about the prayer of consecration for a priest. And now I'd like to talk about a couple of the little traditions and ceremonies that take place immediately after, okay? So after the priest has been ordained formally by the bishop who's presiding, and of course we remember that that has to do with the laying on of hands, the imposition of hands, by the bishop, laying his hands in silence on the head of the man or men to be ordained, and then the consecration prayer, okay? The first thing that happens after he finishes that consecration prayer is the new priest puts on the priestly vestments for the first time. Okay, so up to this point, he would have had on a deacon's stole, right? He would have had on an alb and a cincture, the belt, the rope that goes around his waist, and then a deacon's stole, right? The stole that kind of goes from one shoulder to the other side of the waist there. And he takes that off, and then usually a brother priest now will help him vest in his new vestments of his office, for the first time putting on the priest's stole, and then over that putting on the chasuble, which is the large robe that goes on last, that's of different colors throughout the year, okay? Just as a reminder, the stole for the priest is the long piece of material that goes around his neck and then in two strips down the front. Okay, and so a priest puts that on whenever he's celebrating the sacraments, if he can. You know, I mean, obviously, if someone asks, for example, to be anointed or to go to confession, and he's outside or in a place where he can't get to his stole, that's fine. He can certainly celebrate those sacraments without it. But especially the Mass, he always needs to wear his vestments. And so the stole is the sign of his priestly office. It's kind of like a lot of times when I'm explaining it to the kiddos, in catechism class, I'll say it's a little bit like a police officer's badge, right? It's something that shows the office that he holds and the authority that he has. And over that goes then the chasuble, which is the reminder to the priest that that charity or love is to cover everything. So it covers over the sign of his authority and power, the stole, not to erase it, but to remind him that love comes first, right? Charity in all things. And also that chasuble is a reminder of the gentle yoke of Jesus that we are all called to take upon our shoulders, but especially the priest as acting in the person of Christ. He puts that chasuble on as a reminder of the responsibility of the priesthood that he's taken on and the gentle yoke of Jesus that the Lord has entrusted to him, okay? So after he's put on his new vestments, which is always kind of fun to watch because, you know, it's always interesting when you're putting those on the first time. To get it right the first time is pretty difficult. And so there's usually a few chuckles from some of the more experienced priests as you watch the new priest try to get everything, you know, you get your stole the right length on each side and make sure the chasuble isn't crooked to one side and all of that. It takes a little practice, and it's just one of those little fun things as priests that we get a kick out of. So after the putting on of the vestments, then comes the anointing of the new priest's hands, okay? And so he goes and he kneels back down before the bishop, and the bishop takes sacred chrism oil, which we may recall is the most sacred of the three holy oils that the bishop blesses every year at the chrism mass during Holy Week, and then that they're distributed to the parishes throughout the diocese for the priests to use when they celebrate the sacraments. Okay, so the chrism oil is also the same one we use for confirmation. It's also used to consecrate things. So like, for example, if you were to be consecrating or dedicating a new altar or a new church, the bishop, as a part of that ceremony, anoints it or spreads chrism oil on that altar or on the walls of the church as a sign of it being consecrated for God, made holy for God, okay? And so the tradition the newly ordained priest now comes and kneels before the bishop, who pours sacred chrism oil on the new priest's hands. He is consecrating the priest's hands for ministry, especially to hold and to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, raise his hands in blessing over the people, to absolve them from their sins, consecrating his hands, which obviously he uses a lot in his ministry, to anoint the sick. All of those sacraments, involve the laying on of hands, as I've talked about before. When he does that, the bishop says to the newly ordained priest this. He says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, guard and preserve you, that you may sanctify the Christian people and offer sacrifice to God." Okay? So that you may sanctify or make holy the Christian people and offer sacrifice to God. Remember, we talked about what is the priest's primary role. It's to offer sacrifice to God on behalf of the people, right? Well, now his hands are consecrated by the bishop with sacred chrism oil for that very act of offering the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist to God, right? Now, there's a little tradition, a very important one that's dear to the hearts of priests. It's not specifically mentioned in the ritual itself, but it's been kind of passed down through the ages, is that, you know, the priest then, he needs to, after his hands have been consecrated, he needs to then step out of the sanctuary to wipe off his hands because they're covered in sacred chrism oil, and you don't want to get that everywhere. And you want to treat the excess oil with respect, of course. So what happens is he's given typically a linen cloth to dry his hands, to wipe off the excess chrism oil, which then of course adheres to the cloth. There's a special tradition here that's called the maniturgium. That cloth that's used to wipe the priest's hands after they've just been consecrated is called the maniturgium. Okay, it's a Latin word, and it means, mani means hands, and turgio means to wipe, so to wipe your hands. Okay, it's like a towel. The tradition is that the newly ordained priest, then after the ceremony, after the ordination, he gives that to his mother. He gives that to his mother as a sign of how she was the first to protect and safeguard him in her womb and as he grew. And so he gives this gift back to her in thanksgiving for her giving him the gift of life. Okay, And the tradition is that the mother then keeps that maniturgium, that cloth, in a safe place. And when she dies, her hands are wrapped in it when she's placed in the casket. And there's a pious tradition that I'm not exactly sure where it comes from as far as its source, but it's one of those beautiful traditions in the church, small t traditions, right, that's been passed down. And that is that when, God willing, hopefully, the mother of that priest gets to heaven, she presents that maniturgium to the Lord Jesus. The tradition, some traditions say it like this, that when she arrives to the gates of heaven and she's escorted directly to our Lord says to her, "I have given you life. What have you given to me?" And she hands him the maniturgium and responds, "I have given you my son as a priest." And this Jesus, and at this Jesus grants her entry into paradise. Now, of course, like I said, it's a beautiful legend or tradition, but it's a very meaningful one for priests and their mothers, because priests often have a very special, you could say, close relationship with their parents because of the fact that priests are not married, but especially their mother, because of the connection between Jesus, the high priest, and his mother Mary. There's that spiritual connection between a priest and a mother of a priest as well. Of course, there's also a beautiful connection with your father. But there's that maternal love that a mother has for her son, especially one who has become a priest and has dedicated his life to the church. And so this is a little tradition of that I wanted to share with you, because it's a beautiful tradition. So then after that, after he's had an opportunity to clean his hands, some of the faithful bring a chalice with wine in it and a paten, a little plate, golden plate with a host, with bread, and give it to the bishop. And then again, the priest kneels in front of the bishop and the bishop hands him the paten and the chalice and says to him these words, "Receive the oblation of the holy people to be offered to God. Understand what you do, imitate what you celebrate, and conform your life to the mystery of the Lord's cross." Okay? So, beautiful words. Receive the oblation, the sacrifice, the offering of the holy people, right? Because again, the bread and the wine come from the people. The people bring up the gifts, right? It's from their generosity that the bread and the wine has been able to be purchased. In the old days, it was the people who made the bread and brought the wine in from home. And so they bring it to the priest, who then offers it to God and then gives that gift back to them as the body and blood of Christ. Okay, but he's saying, the bishop is saying, make sure you understand what you're doing, that you're reverent, that you pay attention, that this is the center of your life, this offering of the Eucharist. Imitate what you celebrate. So you celebrate the Lord Jesus laying down his life for his flock. You need to do the same. And conform your life to the mystery of the Lord's cross. Live the Lord's cross in your daily lives. Okay? All right? Then after that is the sign of peace, where the bishop embraces the newly ordained priest, and then all of the priests present come and exchange a sign of peace with him and congratulate him as well. And then he takes his place at the altar, and he will typically have an opportunity to pray part of the Eucharistic prayer during the Eucharist for the first time. Okay, so that's to kind of wrap up the ceremony itself. The next couple of podcasts, I'd like to talk about two of the more controversial, perhaps is not the right word, or questioned teachings of the church by both non-Catholics and sometimes Catholics as well. First of all, why women cannot be ordained to the priesthood in the Catholic Church. And then secondly, why Catholic priests do not get married in the Catholic Church. Okay? God bless you.